Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for November 9th, 2023. First of all, the good news, again, if you're in Atlanta, we now have 9 German Shepherd puppies from the foster. They are in our laundry room and adoptable in 2 months. So Atlanta people, take note. If you're looking for one, we got one. Let's get right into it here. First thing is we'll look at the stock market. SPY has rallied nicely, but is in resistance and is probably going to pull back a little bit, say to the 429 to 430 area, could hold that, and then see a little bit more rally into Thanksgiving. We thought this week was going to be down. It actually has been a decent up week so far, although we'll see how we end tomorrow. But basically, that means that next week could be down a little bit. We're looking at some of the other indexes. IWM has basically filled its gap. QQQ is in resistance also, and it could sell off a little bit. But everything is going about according to the plan that we have set up for it. Again, the only thing I would mention is this rally started from a lower level than I would have liked to have seen, which means we may end up having a little bit of a lower high going into year end, but everything's okay there. TLT, also in resistance. We were looking at the 90 area. It came reasonably close last night. We've got the chance of a pullback here into the 86, 87 area. If it does that and holds it, bonds again look like a bottom. And again, some of these moves, if we do pull back into this support, will also be making right shoulders on stuff. So all that's good. Again, we have no problems with what's going on here from a technical perspective. Looking at gold has pulled back from the 185 area. There is a seasonal tendency for gold to rally into the end of January, actually somewhere in January, beginning to end of January, starting now with the December contract. So again, GLD may hold 180 to 178 on a pullback and then rally again. The fact is still we don't have a lot of institutional accumulation on GLD, so it is what I like to call in trading terms a rental, i.e. we play it on the upside, but we're not looking at a long-term investment in GLD. One of the things about the chart book that does make some sense here that suggests that we are correct in our outlook is there were an awful lot of stocks in the chart book that have daily sell recycles pulling down into weekly buys, and that's usually a very favorable situation. It implies some pullback and consolidation as the daily comes off. But the weekly chart probably rules and suggests that we are going to see higher highs after this. No big problems, in other words. Let's take a quick look at the foreign markets. EWJ had a rally. It's pulled back. It's stabilizing here and should rally. I'm looking at DXJ. DXJ also looks decent. It's had a little bit of a pullback. Japan in general is exciting. What we did say was, in the weekly, and I want to sort of reemphasize this and talk about it because we did get some comments from people on it. We are now looking at not hedging the dollar, as the dollar is probably at a resistance area where it could fail. We still think the dollar ultimately can go higher, but in fact, we've peaked on the dollar in the area we thought we were going to peak in for a while. We'll probably build a consolidation. We may see some better movement in some of these non-hedged ETFs. EWJ is the one we've talked about, but there are others. One that's interesting is JOF, for example. Small Cap Japan trading at $6 to $7. This is a great speculative addition to any accounts if you want to try it, and it's only $7. So that might be a pretty decent play. Looking at emerging markets, obviously, They're still trading under 40. We talked about China and have looked at China a couple of times. This week we'll probably look at Latin America because that's a little bit more of a bellwether for us for the emerging markets in terms of the overall fundamental strength. But China still doesn't look real appealing, and we're still probably going to avoid that. It's not like, you know, with these chart formations, it's not like if we don't buy it today, we're going to miss it. And frankly, we may not want to buy it for a long time. Let's just see, is there anything I'm missing? No, there's really not. I guess I'll say one more thing about the bond market, and that is when I look at LQD, when I look at MUB, the other two main bond ETFs that we follow, as well as TLT and the monthly, they are trading better. We're still seeing a little bit of a drag on governments here relative to some of the other instruments. With that, though, I'm going to pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz and see if there's some questions. Jeff, do you have any questions for us?
I do. How are you?
I am well. How are you? I'm glad we had the puppies, Jeff. That was I was more nervous than
there you go.
Dog was probably.
Okay. So I want to start with, you know, a week ago I said, what do you think? And now here we are a week later, and we haven't had a down day yet. And we're working on potentially our ninth up day in a row, which goes back to 1995. How impressed are you now, a week later?
I still think this is doing about what we thought. We're in the resistance area. If we don't get a pullback here, this rally should fail earlier and more dramatically.
What about 4,400 then? What about 4,400? We cleared or we don't clear it?
I think we're dead here, to be honest with you. I think we failed very close to 4,400, and we should head back to 430 to 429.
But what if we get through it? Where do we go?
If we get through it, we're going straight to 450, which is my year-end target.
Okay.
Yeah, and okay. I will at that point probably have to see how it looks, but I will sell every trading position that isn't nailed down at 448 to 450 if we do that.
Even though, like we talked about going into January, where shorts have been a ton of money, and they're going to have to cover in the new year, which like is what they did last year, and that's why we had a good January last year. So
yes, I will
even
still sell it because I still think we will get a pullback. That would imply to me that the first week of January would be down.
Okay, so a lot of stocks that have been absolutely just destroyed are coming back to life. So first one to hit you on is Disney, which now is back above 90. What do you think of Disney here?
I'm not a huge fan, but I think it can probably get to 96 by the end of the year. I've got very large resistance in the 96 to 97 area. I don't think it's possible for Disney to get through that without some backing and filling.
Okay. So
and the other interesting thing on Disney, by the way, and I didn't notice this, Jeff, thank you. On the monthly chart, you know that this is a giant multi-year head and shoulders top now.
If we look at a, you're saying we look at a monthly
if
chart,
you look
right?
At monthly with the right shoulder much lower than the left. This, and it's hard to believe that this implies $50 on Disney, but if Disney fails at 96, we need to be alert to the fact that this could start down again.
There's also a hell of a lot of support at $80 too. Would you agree? I mean,
yeah,
it takes it back almost. It's almost 10 years now. I mean, next year it'll be 10 years. It's 2014 is where it finally got above $90, and it retested it at the pandemic low, and now it's done another retest. So couldn't we argue that that's potentially a triple bottom on Disney too?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'd actually buy Disney here, because below $80 targets 50 or lower.
Okay.
Good risk reward.
Okay, you what?
Decent risk reward.
Oh yeah, and it's one that you could do a straddle on too, probably, and probably make, you know, a bunch of money off of it. you know, on the long side.
Yeah.
Okay, so hang on, I want to do. I'm looking at like some of the Dow type of stocks that have gotten crushed and are.
Well, the big stock here for the Dow is, and it looks like it's set to have a nice advance, is United Healthcare.
Yeah, UNH.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that
is the
most important stock in the Dow because the Dow is price weighted.
So if it blows through 550, then where do you see it go to?
I think it can go to 650 to 700.
Wow. Well, all I know is they raised. we just got our update for the next year. They raised their prices by 14%. So, but the alternative, Fred, is you'll find this kind of interesting. They'll pay you up to $120 a person a month if you're taking care of yourself. In other words, having a Fitbit or an Apple watch on and tracking stuff. You got to do three. Anyone who has United Healthcare, you should go check out UNH Motion because it's this product they have. And basically, you have to do three things: 10,000 steps, one walk of 30 minutes a day, and then six walks of at least 5 minutes a day. And if you do all three of those, you make $3.60 a day. So, they're giving money back to people, which is by the number of people that are also on the policy. So in theory, I guess Tina and I are just doing it, but in theory, Max could do it as well. So that's kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. With Max, he can, if there's anything like carbon transfer, yeah, Max will cause you guys to do very well. Carbon.
What about Walgreens has been absolutely destroyed in the Dow. And it's down in a level now. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've actually been looking at that myself, and it has got some potential here as long as it holds 20.
And then another absolute dog of the Dow is 3M. Thoughts?
Not as interesting as Walgreens, but if it holds 90, 89 to 90, it should be okay for the end of the year.
Okay. And then, you know how you liked UNH? Kind of a similar type chart, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what you say. Tell me whether I'm full of it. Is Microsoft. What do you think about Microsoft here?
You know, I like Microsoft. I don't think I would buy it here relative to something like Adobe, which I think looks a little bit better. But Microsoft is trading reasonably well.
Okay, that's kind of a good one.
And the interesting thing here is Apple is really starting to lag. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, it's got bad seasonality. It's funny. I did a thing on Twitter for people they want to check out on the Magnificent Seven. And what I noted was there's only one of the Magnificent Seven that has poor seasonality, and that is Apple. So that's got a problem.
Yeah. And I also want to point out my idea of buying Macy's at 11 worked for a while. And I'm still in it, but that stock, again, you're seeing some of these retailers that may not do as well. And I'll tell you, Jeff, I was just in Macy's at Perimeter Mall.
Okay.
I was the only one.
Okay. So if we look at a daily chart of IWM, it peaked out a couple days ago, and mid-cap did the same thing. So how quickly do those need to reassert themselves and get back above, like, say, 175 on the Russell, and on MDY get above, call it 455?
What's interesting here, Jeff, is I'm not as concerned about that. What I am interested in is the fact that they have filled the equivalent of the 430 gap. In other words, the broader indexes have done that. SPY has not. I think that SPY is going to, as long as those hold, and then I would actually buy both of them.
So you're saying you're going to come down and you want to fill that gap.
Yeah,
we have effectively, kind of like a couple gaps on SPY in the last, week and a half. But you're saying the gap at the 430 is an important one.
That's the key gap to me. We can not fill the 425 or so gap, but that 430 gap will probably be filled.
What about QQQ gap? It's a very similar type gap.
Yeah, I think it's got a shot at filling the 360 area gap as well.
Okay. So if you come down and we get a bit of a correction, then that would be a place where you'd want to be a buyer.
Absolutely.
into the year end, I take it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I want to talk about value and growth, and then after that I'll stop. So I was having a debate with someone. They were saying that you want to go into value stocks, and I said that's a bunch of bullshit because basically value has underperformed, including this year, 11 of the last 16 years. So the odds of value doing well next year are not that high. And if we go back to 2009 when we broke out, value is up 379%. Yeah, that's a nice return, but you give up a lot when you look at growth. Growth is up 630. So do you feel like next year value may actually come back to life, or is it more of the same where growth just continues to beat value?
You know, I haven't really looked at that, and maybe I will, but when I look at, again, my main bellwether for that is small cap, VBR and VBK, because it doesn't have those big cap stocks in it. And VBR actually does look like it could start to do, well, it is doing better than VBK. So I think there's a chance that some value stocks will do well. And I've noticed that one of the questions I've been getting a lot lately is, should we sell all of our dividend stocks? I'm not so sure that's the right thing to do here.
Yeah, because what, they're thinking that rates are going to keep going higher?
I don't know what they're thinking. It's just a question that I've been getting. I think they're thinking they're going to underperform, and I'm not so sure they are. But
so to that effect, you know, high yield is correlated to small cap, and obviously high yield pays, you know, pretty good dividends. Both on you know, high yield stocks and also on some of the bonds that are underlying. That looks, it's a pretty good looking chart.
Yeah, high yield actually still is one of the very best bond ETFs we have if we look at HYG, and that is an anomaly. But what that's telling me is you're probably going to see something on small cap going into next year.
And what's so interesting is HYG is just kicking the crap out of LQD, which
yeah.
You'd think that this idea that, like, all these people are like, oh, credit crunch, blah, 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 you know, world's coming to an end. That should not be happening if that's the case. And so maybe it means that is not even close to being the case.
Well,
agree?
Jeff, I don't think so. And, Jeff, you probably know more about this than I do, but it struck me. When was the last time we had a major credit crunch in an election year?
Never.
I think never is it. So what that probably means is the year after the election, if we're going to get a credit crunch, we're going to get it then. And honestly, that's far enough away. I tend to look at things in year increments simply because our clients are basically graded on yearly performance. So a five-year forecast for me is relatively useless. So
I mean,
again,
you could make the argument that 2008 was, but we were also at the very end of that 07-08 period, and we started to rally, you know, just 2 months into a new presidency in 2009, and then, you know, Obama's first year was just, you know, pretty crazy.
Yeah, but again, I mean, that was a credit crunch. And it really, in spite of what they were trying to do, I mean, it wasn't like they were trying to add liquidity. They were adding liquidity to the market the whole time. So that's not my definition of a credit crunch.
I agree. Okay. Well, that's it for me right now.
Good.
Good job.
Let's see if we've got some questions here. Questions.
Hey, Fred, it's Justin. How you doing?
Justin, how are you?
I'm doing great. I got a couple material stocks here. How about DuPont DB?
You know, it's trying really hard to build a bottom, and above 71, you've probably recovered, but this may dork around for a little bit longer.
And then how about Nutrien, NTR, November Tango Romeo?
You know, I have had the devil's own time with this stock. I thought it was going to do much better than it was going to do, and it hasn't. But it still looks like a bottoming formation. Your trick here is above 56, targets 58. Above 58, targets 62.
And then Dow, D-O-W?
That looks a little bit better than DuPont. You know, let's see what happens. It looks like it can get to 50 from here. Let's see what happens there.
And then what do you think of preferreds, like either PFF, Paul Frank Frank, or VRP, Victor Romeo Papa?
I like VRP better. I also like, honestly, PGX looks better than PFF, and it's an easier ETF. PFF has got so much in it, you can't really do much in terms of changing the direction. PGX is a little more flexible. It's also cheaper. And, Justin, I haven't looked, but I believe the yield is higher. I would probably, you know, PFF really does its best. Sorry, VRP does its best when rates are coming up, and it has done well relative to the other two. But I would say now is actually the time for PGX.
Okay. And then how about some financials like Square, Sierra, Quebec?
That may be coming back to life, but it needs to get above 58. And I think it's going to get to 58. So if you're in it and it gets to 58 and it stalls, you may want to sell that. But that's a nice problem to have.
And then what about PayPal, PYPL, Papa Yankee, Papa Lima?
You know, the problem here is, again, if it doesn't go through 60, you could be just buying a rally in a downtrend. This stock has been another big surprise. Jeff had a reason a year ago for why this was failing. I don't know how that's worked out. Jeff may be able to comment on that, but it's certainly not a good chart.
Okay. And then two more, Visa,
Visa is trading very well, and I think it's going to get to 250 to 260 and have a good, fairly good year-end rally. MasterCard looks a little bit worse now. They sort of trade places, but MasterCard has a shot at 403.
Okay. And then Costco, COST?
That's still a very strong chart.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Sorry?
I appreciate it. That was it.
Justin, it's a pleasure. If you're in L.A. next week, let me know because I will be there.
Okay. Thanks, Fred.
Gotcha.
Hey, Fred.
The first person.
This is Joel. Quick question. Unfortunately, I have a position in IBB with most of my clients. Should I just give up on this?
You know, the short answer is you're probably going to find something that performs better. The longer answer is I would see if I can get 123 on it because I think you can.
Okay. All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Got it.
Hey, Fred. This is Irv.
Irv, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good.
I was calling on Gilead.
I noticed last night in the chart book that this had weakened, but it's come right down to support, Irv, and it's still actually kind of positive. If you buy some here, leave some money out for the last 2 weeks of December. This could have some tax selling into December. But in the absence of that, it should stabilize in here and actually rally.
Okay. And how about AbbVie?
I still have that as a favorable stock. I'm a little surprised that it's weak today. The intermediate chart is basically a 150 to 127 range, and it may be staying in that range. I don't have a major reason to sell it, but you know, I'd like to see it pick up a little bit. There's,
right.
What the market is saying actually is they're going to go after healthcare companies. They feel they're making too much money, and there could be some real mess in some of these. I'm seeing too much weakness in some of the good stocks.
Mm-hmm. How about our favorite, BAC?
You know, it hit the first area I was looking for it to hit at 29 to 30. I think it's going to hold 27.50, and then I think it's going to 31, 32 by the end of the year. And if Ed is on the phone, I will get back to him on that. But I would not – I think it's probably a little bit higher than 31 going into year-end. Again, the reason I came up with the 31 sell price is I had a number of people who had way outsized positions in that, trying to find a place to sell it before the end of the year. And I think 31 is going to be where you're going to be able to do that.
Okay. And one last one, IBM.
You know, that, to me, it's a little bit overextended. It's a hold, but I think you're going to get 150 on that to 152 and maybe higher. That stock continues to trade well without anybody really talking about it.
Great. Great. Thank you, Fred.
Very good. Are retirement treating you okay?
It's wonderful. I recommend it.
Okay. Very good. We'll talk soon. Other
questions? Yes.
Yogesh, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Just the Jeff asked you a question about 3M. Can you look at the RTX Raytheon?
Yogesh, that looks a little bit better, and it looks like it can trade up into, let's say, 88, and then I'd take a look at it.
And the two more, Disney and Walmart, should we keep it? Should we take money and move on? What should we do?
I would stay with Walmart. I think Walmart is pulled right back to intermediate support and has a shot at going higher. And Disney, Yogesh, the risk-reward on Disney, Jeff and I talked a little bit about this, is good enough given the support at 80 that I would stay with this and see if I couldn't get 96 on it, 95, 96.
Okay. That would be
this serious. Could be a good year-end tax-bound stock, although it's already bouncing.
Right, right. No, thank you. Very good. And I missed your beginning, so I'm assuming that you are, I heard that Jeff asked you questions related with the SPY, QQQ.
Yeah, we can go in and fill those gaps, Yogesh, but I think things look really pretty good, too. I don't see any, I have no reason at this point to sell any indexes.
Thank you very much.
Got it. Other questions?
Fred, hey, Bob Fred. Robbins here.
Bob, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good.
Good. Perhaps the nuttiest example of a credit crisis in an election year was under President Jimmy Carter when he was frustrated with the enormous inflation in the first quarter of 1980. And
yeah.
He told Americans to tear up their credit cards. And we had an instant recession
right.
for a few months until he collected his thoughts and corrected his mistake by saying he didn't really mean that.
You know, Bob, I forgot completely about that. I was much younger.
Yeah.
You were certainly of an age to remember that.
So does that fit into what you were saying, or is that?
Yeah, that's the only one, though, that I can think of, Bob, really. Thank you for bringing that one up.
Yeah, okay.
Got it. Any other points, Bob? It still looks like year-end rally behavior to me. I don't see any reason not to be looking for that.
Well, every once in a long while, I hope you'll excuse me for straying into fundamentals, but yesterday I heard the analyst from Jefferies talking about Microsoft and saying that Microsoft is to software what NVIDIA has been to semiconductors. And basically he's saying that in the normal business cycle, and including the cycle of artificial intelligence, NVIDIA was fast off the starting blocks and Microsoft is next, because Microsoft is basically the king of software and they're on top of AI. So I think Microsoft is a very big stock here.
It certainly could be. It certainly could be. This is going to be a real interesting next year as we see how some of this comes out. So,
Hey guys, it's Jeff. Hey, Fred, what's your thought on IBM? Because IBM is also monstrously huge in AI, getting absolutely zero credit for it, and it's the chart's kind of like basing, and people are short it, and
I think IBM could be one of the better technology stocks next year. Irv brought that out, and Irv is, as well as being retired, is also a very sagacious stock picker. I've worked with Irv since my days at Merrill, which is now, God, 15 years, and he has consistently picked really good stocks, and that's a new one for him. So, yeah, I would say IBM has got huge potential here.
Bob, do you like IBM at all, too?
I'm intrigued by it, but I don't own it. I haven't bought it. I, can't buy them all. But I think it's attractive, and it's just not as attractive as NVIDIA and Microsoft, in my view.
Guys, what's interesting is a week ago, Stanley Druckenmiller, for those that don't know him, he's one of the top hedge fund managers that's ever existed. He worked for Soros for a number of years. He kind of started out like Fred and me, kind of doing his own thing first. Anyway, he said that next year is going to be the year of the stock picker, both on the long side and the short side. It sees us kind of trading range-wise, but it could really be a stock picker's year. Fred and Bob, what do you guys think about that? And then I'll jump off after that. I'm curious, like, what each of you think about this idea that next year could be really a stock picker's year?
Well, let me go first, Bob, because I would say, okay. And I think Bob would actually agree with this, every year is a stock picker's year. The problem is a lot of people pick really bad stocks, so the indexes beat them. But, yeah, I think one of the things in an interest rate environment that's starting to come down, but it's probably going to be, I think, higher than people think for longer, that's got real potential for stocks and less for indexes.
I disagree with Druckenmiller on this because I think the market can go up a lot more than the average 7% on the S&P 500 over its nearly 100-year history. The reason is the Fed's interest rate hikes are pretty confidently stopping somewhere in here. And historically, the S&P was up 19%. In the 12 months after the Fed stops hiking. If the last hike was the one 2 or 3 months ago, then the market's going to be up about 20% in the next 12 months from here today. And that's just by definition, in my book, not a stock picker's market. When you got the Fed on your side, it shouldn't be really narrow as it was last year. It ought to be broader. So, you can argue that last year was a stock picker's market. We just had it. You needed to own the Magnificent Seven. But I don't think that's going to be as much the case in the next year. I still think, AI is the big theme. And to the extent that that's narrow, you need to be there.
Yeah, and Bob, I will send you this piece by Rich Bernstein. We attached it to the conference call recording email last week, but you might very well have missed that because I'm not sure you even look at that email. But one of the things that Rich, who I worked with and who I think, I love Rich's fundamental analysis. I freely admit that Rich's timing leaves an awful lot to be desired sometime. But his point is that we've got what he calls a once-in-a-generation buying opportunity for everything other than the Magnificent Seven because of valuations and the interest rate situation, and gives a bunch of nice graphs and things that I think you'll get a kick out of. And I'm not going to ask you to go back and find that email. I'm just going to send that to you. In fact, I just did send it to you. But that, that would imply, again, the positioning of that we've taken, in RSP is actually turning out next year to be really good. We'll just have to see. I still think so. I'm not selling my RSP.
I'll have one thing about the bull market and sentiment. It's pretty amazing that you still have a fair amount of denial of the bull market. And bull markets climb a wall of worry. And when you hear people like, I believe it was Steve Leisman on CNBC, I think he's a smart economist, but I think he was the one that interjected that this is a continuing bear market, some offhanded comment to that effect. But, I mean, how much evidence do you need? The standard definition of a bull market's when the S&P goes up 20%. And you had a humongous double bottom last year in June and October, and by various measures, the broader sentiment was indicative of a bear market end. I just think.
Bob, we had one interesting thing on sentiment that hasn't occurred in a long time. And that is my I grade my percent bears indicator to be neutral to negative when the moving average that I take of Investors Intelligence percent bears goes below 20%. And it did that earlier this year. But for the first time in a long time in the same year, it's actually gone back above 20% in the last monthly. Mm-hmm. If you look at that long-term chart, and I've of course got charts going back for 30 years on that, that doesn't happen in bear markets, right? It just doesn't happen in bear markets. That's actually a bullish development, and if you look at put call, that's also had another little spike like we had last December, which was our kicker last year, if you'll recall, that we were going to have a nice advance this year.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm going to jump in here. So I'm on Bloomberg and on in a chat room, and it's supposed to be, quote, unquote, the smart money. Lots of hedge fund guys, lots of good thinkers, blah, blah, blah. And they are just so wrong, it's not even funny. I mean, like, they're just negative beyond belief. And even the guy who's kind of involved in it, getting everyone on it, he's a technician, but I don't really call him a technician anymore because he doesn't follow technicals. Like, if you're a technician, you have to be liking what's going on here, and to say you're not liking it and that you're going to just, short it, is crazy. Anyway, so anecdotally, there's a lot. I'm seeing a lot of negativity still out there.
Yeah, and Bob, the only other thing I'd mention, Jeff, is I've got that long-term indicator of trend that I use, where one of the components is the 5-month moving average above the 20-month moving average on 4 separate indexes. And if you have all 4 positive, it's definitely a bull. If you have all 4 negative, it's definitely a bear, and various gradients. And when I look at that, I've got three or four. The only one that isn't positive is the transports. They're still negative. And actually, the transports are positive too now. So all four are positive. Small cap this month could slip into negative. But we've had good markets when we've had, and Harvey Snyder, if he's on the call, laugh. Much of the time you have what I call a Desmond, which is two are positive and two are negative. We call it the Desmond 2-2. This time, even with small cap going negative, and it has, by 6 cents, you still have three up and one down, and one of the weakest indexes of all, which is the transports, is actually still positive. So this, there's no way I can call this a bear market, except to maybe say, because we haven't made new highs yet, it hasn't confirmed that it's a bull market. And I, if Walter Murphy is on the call, he can chime in about Dow theory, and maybe I'll ask Walter, is my big Dow theory expert, but I don't. I think Dow theory is even positive. So,
Fred,
real hard to say it's a bear.
Fred and Bob, you both are on the line. May I ask you one question?
Sure, Bob, answer first. If Bob's still on,
the many of our senior analysts that you just mentioned, Rich Bernstein, and Fred and I, we go back many, many years with him. So he has been writing negative about those seven magnificent stocks, not now, but maybe more than a year, year and a half. And he's consistently negative on those seven stocks. And then he turns around and he has a realistically magnificent buying opportunity that he's writing. How this the S&P can really, without those seven stocks, and as Bob mentioned, right, the Microsoft and Nvidia and all of those things are leader and they will continue doing well. So how both all of those things can happen together? Just quick question. Bob has not read that letter, I mean, in report, but I'm sure you will get there.
Well, I use the three-month comparison of relative price to the S&P 500 on every investment, or every common stock investment. And I don't worry too much about trying to figure out the answers to all of what you said. Just let the market tell me what the trends are and go with them. And I just always try to be in the strongest 2 or 3% of stocks. It's a lot of trading, but it tends to produce long-term results.
Yes. And my response to that, Yogesh, is very simple. Rich is not saying that those stocks are going to go down. What he's saying is that those stocks in the aggregate may not outperform and that the rest of the stocks are going to start to perform better.
So Fred, I need you know that I checked with that group.
Did you talk to Rich or Dan?
Yes, I spoke with Dan and a few other people in the group. And then I had asked a question to Rich also. That they are very negative on those seven stocks. The Savita is also negative. The Michael Hartnett is negative. And then I'm just wondering that they are the leaders, and if we sell, it's a 20-30% tax situation, right? In a cash account.
Yeah.
And this should be as Bob mentioned, right? They are the leader, and we should just stay with them.
Yogesh, I would have to agree with that. And over time, over the next few months of next year, let's say RSP does resume its 1.5% long-term outperformance next year. It's had an underperforming year, an equal performing year in the last 2 years. So let's say it resumes that. Well, that doesn't imply that these stocks have to go down. And the other thing I would mention, and this is something that is kind of, when you think about this is true. RSP is not equally weighted every day of the year.
Right.
RSP is equally weighted when it rebalances four times a year.
Right.
And then it starts going out of balance the next day.
Right.
Right? So you can have those stocks, and this is what I've been thinking, you can have those stocks do less well than other stocks and still go up. Right? And in a real bull market, the idea, and again, Bob, if he has anything to say about this, the idea that suddenly seven stocks that are good companies in disparate sectors are all going to fall and the rest of the market simultaneously goes up, I don't think that's ever happened either.
Right.
Right? So I have, again, first of all, I would say, given the way this thing looks going into the end of the year, I have no reason to sell any of the holdings that I've been recommending.
Very
right?
Good.
I mean, I'd have to look at every single stock in the sector review again, and I haven't done that in a month. But I have no reason to sell anything here because I think the market's going to be quite strong into the end of the year. And I would add, if we get a pullback in here to the 430, 431 area on the spider, I'd add any extra money I have at that point.
We actually follow what you say, but sometimes when you read these things, it's a good question that I want to ask.
Oh, no, it's a good question. And, you know, I haven't talked to Dan or Rich about that. I just haven't. I haven't done it. What I am going to try to do, and Yogesh, I just had a great idea, is see if I can get Dan or Rich on a call, on one of my calls before the end of the year.
That would be a great idea.
And I've been meaning to call them and do that. And with all the stuff going on here, I just haven't had time to do much anything. But yeah,
I don't see any
reason to sell anything here, Bob. Aside from your normal trading, do you think we need to start liquidating positions here? I do not.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we need to take any drastic action. Just follow the 3 month relative price trends. Sell them.
You know, Jesse Livermore said your big money's made by sitting, and I think this is the time when we actually want to engage in sedentary behavior.
The last question about the oil. Lately, it's been struggling. Any observation, any suggestion?
I look for oil to make a seasonal bottom in early November, and this is still technically early November. I have to say it has been a bit weaker than I thought it was going to be. And, of course, the oil stocks are completely distorted by Chevron and Exxon right now.
Right. Okay.
But I am going to still stick with oil rallying from this general area into the end of the year.
I sold Schlumberger and I continue to hold Diamondback and Cheniere.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Keeping in mind, energy is only about 4% of the S&P 500, and I'm trying to beat the S&P 500.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not the key sector. Where I'm looking, well, and again, we'll just mention one more thing and then see if there's any questions. I do see some situations like XLV, healthcare, which are giant high-level consolidations that have gone on for several years. And I see a lot of things like that when I look at RSP as a high-level consolidation. I see a lot of things like that that suggest that we could have a better year and that other sectors in technology could be the leadership in the next couple of years. So let's see if there are any more questions. I know we've been pontificating like mad people. Any more questions for us?
I've got a credit.
Sorry, who? Sorry.
Michael.
Michael.
You don't sound like you do any tax loss harvesting. Nor does Bob. And yet, we're sensitive to our clients needing some of that.
Yeah. You know,
swaps come into mind.
Yeah, there are definite swaps, Michael, that I can see. You know, for example, I would sell PEY if you have a tax loss.
I have it there, yeah.
And I would buy COWZ. Or DVY.
COWZ?
COWZ, cows.
Why not SDY, Sam David yesterday?
Yeah, I could do that. I would actually, much better than SPY is XLG, and it's cheaper.
And Abby V has been a dog.
One could see that I'm hoping that turns around, but I could definitely sell ABBV and buy Lilly.
I already own it, so I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about, I used to own Intel. I was thinking about swapping Abby V for Intel.
Yeah, I still like Intel.
Yeah, it seems to have made the turn.
But again, a lot of tax swapping goes on in the same sector. But yeah, I think Intel's a good deal. I have that on my list as well.
And I don't know what to do about the medical equipment ETF, IHI. It's also been a dog.
You know, I would swap that for XLV, frankly.
I thought about that, but I also have that in one of my models. So I got some limitations.
Yeah. Michael, I'll call you offline on that.
That'd be good. I sent you an email yesterday about the dilemma on that.
Do you want a German Shepherd puppy?
I can't.
Because I have nine of them as of yesterday.
I've been trying to help you with that, and I have no takers yet.
No, I know, but I guess what I'm saying is I didn't get to some of my emails yesterday because this has been a madhouse here.
Sure. I'll let somebody else ask a question, Fred.
Sure. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, a couple things.
Hey, Fred.
Yes, a couple things.
So first, I thought your sector picks were in the monthly that I'm looking at right now, and I don't see it. Where do I find it?
No, they're in the sector review, the stock.
Sector review. Okay, great. And then just a couple of stocks. One is HSBC.
That's still trading fine. I would not have any qualms about buying that. I would certainly hold it if I had it.
Okay. MPC.
Mary Paul Communism Marathon. Yeah, that's actually trading better than some of the other bigs. So, yeah, that's one I would actually start consider picking up in here.
Okay. BMRN.
I haven't looked at that stock in 6 months, and that's trading better than a lot of biotechs. So that's certainly a hold. Steve, it's actually pulled back to test the 84 area support. You might want to try that if you want to buy it, if that's in your models. That's on the list.
Right. Great. Let's see. So Merrill has a one-year note coming out on WBD. I usually buy them, but I'm kind of curious. They're having, I think it's a 19% yield.
What's that symbol, Steve?
WBD.
WDD. Sorry, you were actually cracking a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I'm at home and reception is not great. WB as in boy, D as in dog.
W boy. Yeah, this stock intrigues the hell out of me, but basically, it's very hard to recommend this here. You're going to have tax selling in this in December, I think, Steve. This is a
retail
stock.
Any thoughts on a one-year basis?
On a one-year basis? it's got to get above that 1150 area. It went right up to where I thought it could fail, or where my machine thought it could fail, and failed.
Yeah.
And it's actually, so it needs to get back above 12. Actually, back above 10, 20, or this could go straight down into the end of the year.
Yeah, well, the problem is that it's a one-year note, so can't
yeah.
wait.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
Got it.
Appreciate it.
And one interesting thing I'm going to just mention, Steve brought out, I'm going to just throw this out. I think every major firm has a structured note on GLD that works if you're above 180 by the end of December. I think every single firm has that. I know Merrill does, which means to me you've got an excellent shot at GLD being above 180 by the end of December. The seasonal trade in GLD should actually work. Any other questions? Sorry, we interrupted somebody, Steve and I.
Hey, Fred, it's Jeffrey Collier in Santa Rosa Beach. How are you?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Three things. Two correlate to each other. I'd like to see Jeff's mention on this as well. But, Barron's headlines, is it time to sell your energy stocks or oil stocks? I'm seeing a lot of insider buying still just recently, buying these stocks, Exxon, Oxy, all these. And then airlines, acting interesting after the huge pullback, worried about oil prices. Now those are softening. And then what do you think about emerging market debt here? Is it time to relook at that?
Well, let me, obviously I think this is about the time to buy energy stocks, but you have to be selective because there's been corporate actions. Honestly, I don't think, given for an odd reason, which I mentioned on last week's call, which was they're screwing around with the loyalty programs and they may have finally made it so people aren't going to be loyal anymore and they're going to be just sensitive on price, I wouldn't buy an airline stock here. And, Jeff, I'll tell you one of the reasons why that is. The model in Europe is that every single thing on an airplane is unbundled now in Europe, right? I can buy a ticket from London to Gibraltar for $34. If I want to take a suitcase, that's another $50. If I want a bigger seat, that's another $50. So my flight one way from London to Gibraltar with a suitcase in the cabin as well as a checked bag and a bigger seat was $134. But there's an awful lot of people that if they have those options, won't pay it. I think airline profitability is going to go straight down the tubes. That combined with the fact that there's no reason to fly Delta anymore and try to get status because it depends on how much money you spend and not how many miles you fly. I'm not going to be flying Delta next year. I haven't liked them for a long time. I'll get my silver status this year, but if it looks like I'm not going to get it next year, I'm going to switch to other airlines that I prefer. So airlines, no. And what was the third one?
Emerging market debt.
There's two kinds. And, Jack, let me take a look at that in the weekly. PCY and some of the dollar-denominated looks decent. EBND, which is local currencies, looks less so. But, Jack, I'll take a look at the local currency bonds, emerging market bonds, the local ones this week.
And VWAP was one that you liked before, VWOB.
Yeah. And there's several of them. They're similar charts, but yeah, that one looks as good as some of the others. LEMB is another one. I don't know whether I would do those versus a dollar-denominated bond. The PCY, which is one of the weaker ones, but has better yield, actually looks a little bit better than those.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. I'm sorry, Jeff and I interrupted somebody. Another question.
Brett.
Yes, sir.
Where would you sell ZROZ?
The short answer is I've already sold it. It's got to get through 75, and I might buy it back at 69.80 to 70 for a run to 75. It's going to have trouble getting through 75, I think.
Okay. All right. And I have. And so energy, you're obviously still bullish.
Yeah, I have to look at RSPG and not XLE just because, you know, it's really kind of amusing how the two biggest stocks in XLE both did corporate actions within 2 weeks of each other and screwed up their stock prices. But when I look at RSPG, all that's really done here is come down to fill the gap that it had right before seasonal energy prices turn up. So I have to look at that very carefully.
Okay.
I think I will end up recommending that.
And commodities generally, there's a debate about whether a slowdown, you know, hurts commodities, blah, blah, blah.
You know, we're in an interesting position on the commodity indexes because two of the biggest commodity classes, agriculture and oil, both bottom in November. Okay. And based on my analysis, when I look at SOYB, actually look at corn because that's really the one you want to look at. CORN is a beautiful base on a low that's starting to show some signs of perking up, and it is November, based on my analysis. So I think commodities still have a chance of doing well certently into the beginning of next year. They may not do super well. They may not be big outperformers, but I think they still have a good shot.
Okay. And uranium, have you thought any further on that?
I haven't even looked at it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, URA, I mean, it still looks fine. I certainly am not worried about the little pullback it just had.
Thanks.
And thank you. I will call you on my golfing buddies. Other questions? Very well. Going once.
Hey, Fred, it's John.
John, what's up?
Hey, real quick, I know it's been a long call. Just to kind of clarify where we are right now. By the way, congratulations on the puppies.
You need them, John.
No, I've got a buffoon.
You can come over and visit and look at them.
I'll come look at them. I've got a buffoon who is we're a one dog family, so with him. So,
okay.
This week of the last week, small caps are down 3%, mid caps are down 2%, RSP is down 1%, and essentially SPY is up 0.33%, so essentially flat. I know the thing that you're worried the most about is this market continuing just to kind of take off and not reset. If we just kind of stay right here over the next day or so and then next week, I mean, we start going back up, do you feel like that's happened, that we've reset ourselves over this week?
We may have had enough there. And again, John, I think this is the real key. I wouldn't sell really anything I had here, because I think if I'm wrong, there are going to be surprises on the upside.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not so much worried about selling as I'm still seeing just a little bit of cash, and I'm just waiting for the last trading bit of cash to put to work for folks. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
If we get above 440 on the spider, you can put that in.
Okay, that's what I'll do then. All righty. And I appreciate it, Fred. Yeah, I sent an email about lunch with Stan and Peter just when you get a chance.
I saw that, and I'll just tell you real quick, my last trip starts Sunday for the year, and then I come back the following Saturday, and then I'm pretty much free.
Okay, sounds fantastic. Have a safe trip.
Got it, yeah. Yeah, for those of you who I haven't responded to emails, I apologize. We have puppies. Amy's father died. Jody just left for the funeral. And I've been having phone issues as well, so I apologize, but I'm, you know, things are going along. Other questions? Very well. Going once.
Hey, Fred, Jeff, I got a quick question from somewhere.
Sure.
So on the airlines, a little more in depth, with the fact that if energy prices continue to drop, does that change your viewpoint that they could be stronger?
Yeah, but I don't think they're good investments. They never are, really. And
they're definitely a trade. They're definitely a trade.
I think that what you're going to see from friends of mine that are frequent flyers that have status and talking to people and those forums like flyertalk.com, I think you're going to see a huge upheaval in the airlines this year. I think it's going to be real, real interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, Delta certainly, you know, let's say Delta loses a third of their frequent flyers this year.
Okay.
And those people start, or they start flying solely based on the cheapest flights.
Okay.
That's going to really hurt them.
So the question I have for you is, it's interesting how the short selling is kind of moderate for the group. It's like at 46%, but a couple of the bigger names look really interesting in terms of short selling. Southwest, United, and American all see shorts kind of piled in here on those names. So, and then also ALK. So what do you think of those four stocks? Like
Southwest looks worse than ALK is the best one by far. They all suck, but ALK is the best one by far.
I mean, to me, what's interesting about ALK, if it clears 35, then it could really have some get up and go. Agree?
Yeah, absolutely. This will be at 45 in 2 months.
And Southwest is definitely still a struggle. It's just not participating as much as the others are on a percentage price basis.
Yeah, I think they're going to actually be the beneficiary of a lot of this turmoil with the frequent flyer programs.
Okay, so let's talk about travel and this idea that we either go into recession or we don't go into recession. CHH, let's talk about hotels for a second. I'm kind of intrigued by this. This is massively shorted, and they're potentially doing an acquisition here. What do you think of this stock right where it's at right now?
It's right on support, much below 110, and you've got a huge disaster.
I know, but if it holds 110, so would you be okay like being long it with a stop?
Yeah, buying it at a stop at 109. You know, I look at Marriott, and again, I keep thinking, you know, that what basically my feeling on these has been that the return to travel is over. I mean, that was discounted before. We played these for a while. And, you know, Choice is actually probably the most interesting here.
What's so interesting is, like, shorts have totally come into the hotels. Look at WH. Like,
that's a good chart, actually, short term.
Yeah, and then look at MAR. Like, all these are shorted. So if you want the intensity, become an earlier client, I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
But MAR looks pretty good. You like
MAR?
Marriott
is probably still my favorite of these, and it came right down to 188 support and has basically held at closing.
How about HLT? Because it's kind of broken out a little bit.
Yeah, that's still private equity though, more than anything else. So it's not as good a chart. It doesn't have the potential that Marriott has, but yeah, it looks decent.
And then how about the dog?
Hyatt just cannot get going here, and it's the most shorted of all of them. I'll just say that.
What's the symbol on Hyatt? H, I think, right?
H. Yeah. H is the symbol. Yeah.
Yeah. If that makes it through 111, you could get a move to 128 on that.
Oh, nice. And 111.84 is the 200-day.
Oh, simple. Okay.
Yeah. So that would be kind of interesting. There's one other one in that group. Hang on. I want to ask. It's like a small capper, but it's kind of an interesting name, and I'm just kind of curious what you think about it. Let me just get the symbol. Because it's like, it's for Fred, it's the Richard Pryor formation. XHR, Xenia Hotels. What do you think of this thing?
I will tell you one thing about that stock. If it's heavily shorted, I would buy it before the call is over.
It is. It's 73%. This one I'll actually give it. It's 73% and 5.79 days to cover on it. So it's got
There's
a lot
a
of...
very strong rumor that Marriott is going to step in and buy this.
Oh,
and if you talk to people at Marriott and talk to people at hotels. It may not be a rumor in public, but it's a rumor at the hotels.
Okay. Well, that's kind of interesting. I want to look at one other thing on it, which is really interesting, which will kind of – yeah, it's interesting. Historically, the shorts have made money on this. Four times they've been in it, and on average they've made like 16%, but it's not heavy yet. It's still moderate, so it wouldn't qualify for that yet. So anyway, kind of an interesting,
yeah.
So, okay, cool. Well, that's good.
Good enough. Well, let's see if there are any more questions, and then we've been on the call for a while. I can stay
on
if people want. Hey there. Yes.
It's Barrett. Hey, I'm late to the call, so if you just tell me to listen to the replay, if you already went through this, but thoughts on TLT here.
Barrett, I still haven't changed. I think it's going to fail at 90, which I think it has done.
And sell it, and do you think we can buy it back?
Well,
another
I don't
trade
think you're
going
to
want
to sell it, but I think it's going to pull back to 85, 86. And if it does that, I would buy it. I think it just needs another little bit of a pullback. But, you know, I still think this can make it to 105 by the end of the year.
Wow. Other thing I was asking you about too is just the I've been tracking every day. Everybody's talking about the NYSE breadth. You know, Suttmeyer saying how good it is, bullish breadth surge. I'm just my way of looking at it is every day I kind of check the relatives when RSP, SPY versus you know tech and XLG, and I see outperformance like crazy on tech every single day. And
yeah,
SPY
the problem
versus
with that
RSP
is a cap weighted thing, and
yeah.
What I think you're seeing is some of the smaller stocks are actually starting to come up, and those won't be reflected in the cap weighted stuff versus RSP yet.
Yeah, because RSP, I feel like it's just been kind of stuck on these buy signals, not doing a whole lot. It can't get above 141.
It's a huge base on the monthly chart.
Yeah, so it's waiting for a breakout, is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
At some point, it will break, get up to 150.
Yeah.
Would be your
and
target?
If it can get 155. Through 150, I think you've got a very big move on that.
Okay. What would be the catalyst for you to start to look at buying that 141 or break above 141 to 142?
I actually am recommending it now.
Okay. And would you sell? We have a nice little nice gain in overweight and IYW and SMA. Would you flip that now or would you just keep that trade on?
You know,
not
I
trade,
would keep that until you see some time, see some evidence that it's starting to perform in line with the market or a little bit less.
Yeah.
Because one of the things we talked about when you weren't on the call, but I'll just mention it, was I don't think these tech stocks are going to go down and have everything go up. I just think they may turn into underperformers and advance less than something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you have any risk holding on to these.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and we're not looking to take a bunch of gains either if we don't have to.
Yeah.
But it's been nice. Okay, and then so you're thinking that you know, duration trades still ready to be put on if you think TLT's on 105. That's a pretty substantial 10-15% move on long-term bonds. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't, you know, and again, but again, the real thing is, do I think long-term bonds are going to go back and make new lows? And the answer is no.
You don't think it's going to go, TLT could get, you know, as that as a proxy, or TNX will go to, you know, 55, or TLT going to 80. You don't think that's going to happen now?
Not right now. No, maybe early, maybe next year.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Not in the next 3 or 4 months, and maybe not in the next year.
Yeah. Okay. And so these mind the statistics. If 105 uses a sell point to get in, it gets oversold and starts, or overbought and gets a sell signal, you just get out of it.
Yeah, and you know what we're going to do, Barrett? I mean, you can't, one of the problems, and this is a huge debate in the trading community and has been since I started in this business. Do you trade for a target or do you try to follow the trend? Right?
You got to follow the trend.
Following the trend means you never sell at the peak or buy at the bottom.
Yeah.
But you can get bigger moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as an investor, you have to do that. You can't just trade everybody.
Yeah. Especially with
compliance
people. Yes, sir.
Well, I'll listen to it, Paul. I appreciate it.
Hey, Bob. Bob is here. One more comment from Bob.
I know it's been a very long call. One way to look at technology with the artificial intelligence theme is how big is it? And the CEO of NVIDIA early this year said that it's bigger than the personal computer and bigger than the internet. Okay, that might be some hyperbole, but here's the observation. Take a look at the 1990s internet boom and look and see how much the corrections were and when in the leading stocks like Cisco, CSCO, and AOL, Sun Microsystems, etc., the biggies that were the leaders there. Or look at the MSH, Morgan Stanley High Tech Index, which I don't even think exists anymore, but it sure was then. And if there weren't corrections in the early years, then I submit to you that there may not be substantial corrections in the artificial intelligence stocks anytime soon.
Yeah, I think Bob is right on that. I think if that's a theme you're playing, you don't want to let any of the stocks that you think are big in that area go, because you may not get them back at the price you sold them at.
Exactly.
You know, and obviously anyone using risk management, you know, and again, let's just be funny here. Let's say, for argument's sake, you bought NVIDIA last year, you know, below 200. Okay. Well, it's certainly reasonable, even if you're going to use a stop loss, to use a stop loss at 300 or 310, well away from here. You're still going to make plenty of money. And if, you know, Bob mentioned two stocks, AOL and Sun Workstations, Sun Microsystems, they're gone, right?
Yeah.
But most people were able to make money on those if they didn't just let them go to zero, right? So even if you're going to use risk management on these names, you have to be more, you have to let them move around a little bit more.
I've mentioned this before. I'll just mention it again. It's a powerful observation. I bought $18,000 worth of Cisco early in the tech boom in the 1990s. At the top of that $18,000 investment, which I had not changed at all, was worth a profit of $1 million.
Yeah, and another example of that, my friend Moses, said Moses, who, Bob, you may remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sed is actually really smart. He got out of the investment business in 2001 and got into the bar and restaurant business in downtown Los Angeles and led that renaissance down there. I'll be seeing him in a week. But at one point, he won Norm Zeta's trading contest with an unmargined return of 1,500% in a year.
That's crazy.
Unmargined, because he was in all those big tech names.
Yeah.
I think that was 92 or 93. I went to that Christmas party. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, between the 1998 low and the 2000 high, the equally weighted 35-stock Morgan Stanley high-tech index went up 500%.
And yeah, and Bob, while it is also true that the index doesn't even exist anymore and three-quarters of the stocks in it don't exist anymore, what the hell? Unless you're a real idiot, if you have a 500% gain, it's hard not to make money on that,
yeah.
Right?
And
you can do it, but you have to be really stupid.
One postscript, and that is the MSH from the top in 2000 to the bottom in 2002 totally retraced that 500%
yeah.
from the 1998 low.
Yeah. But you did have time to sell it. It didn't do it in one day.
You sure did. You sure did. Yeah.
So, any event, let's see if there are any more questions. If not, Bob, I'm going to get off.
Me too.
Any questions from the field, on anything for me or Bob or Jeff? Very good. Going once. Going twice. Very well. This will end the Fred Report technical market call for November 9th, 2023. Any Atlanta people that want to see some German Shepherd puppies, do feel free to send me an email at fred@thefredreport.com. And everybody have a great week next week.